Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever time you're listening or wherever you're listening from. Welcome along to A Blank Canvas. I'm Cameron Rawson, and this is episode 43 with Dave Smith. How are you doing? I hope you're feeling good. Over the last few weeks, I've had some amazing comments on the podcast as of late, because I've been interviewing some amazing people, having great conversations about fascinating topics, and it's really exciting. And I'm really happy that so many people have got in touch and said they're enjoying it. The numbers are really great at the moment, and I'm so happy. So thank you very much to all the people that are new here. Welcome along. Thank you for coming back. Feel free to hit the follow button on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Like I've said in every episode so far, from the end of this month, from the end of April, this podcast is going video as well as audio, and I've got some amazing plans. It's going to be super exciting. As the restrictions are eased, the podcast is going to up the ante, so I'm really excited for that. For those that have returned, like I said, thank you very much. This is A Blank Canvas. And in this episode, today, on the Wednesday, the 7th of April, Wednesday 2021, in this episode, I chat with photographer, explorer, and storyteller Dave Smith. We speak about his passion for adventure and exploration, how he found this passion, his stories of past travel, tips on where to find natural beauty within the UK, what makes a good photo, and much more. Dave has got a fantastic way with words. He's unlike me there. He's very good at putting you in this sort of place of, well, where he's been. He's good at sort of dictating it to you and putting it into some great words. And I had a fantastic conversation with Dave. It was so good. I've known Dave for a while through a friend of ours, and it was really nice to chat with him. So this is it. This is episode 43 with Dave Smith.
Welcome to A Blank Canvas with Cameron Rawson.
So Dave, thank you very much for joining me today on this episode. What you do is amazing. You're a fucking amazing photographer. Like, well, to start with, anybody that wants to, for context, see Dave's work, I'll put it in the description of this episode. But Dave, thank you very much for joining me. Yeah, how are you doing?
No problem. How's things? Yeah, I'm good.
Good man. I've seen you've been doing a lot of exploring in the great outdoors. Like, you're not really an indoor person, are you, really?
I try and avoid it, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, I've always loved being outdoors. I guess I've kind of been brought into that life by my dad, I guess, sort of introducing me to climbing, caving, you know, from the age of like 5 or 6. So hiking, wow, Kayaking, all these sort of outdoor things. Yeah, I've been doing them since day, really. So yeah, I try and get out when I can. Basically, if I could, I'd be out all the time.
You literally are an outdoor person, aren't you? I mean, this is why I'm excited for this conversation, because I know you through a friend of ours, Liam, but I know the kind of stuff you do on the face of it in terms of exploring, and obviously we'll talk about your photography as well, because that's just so good. But this is what I like, is that I'm finding out about all this stuff. I mean, I did not know you were, you know, I mean, yeah, just tell me more. So you're 5 years old when you started out doing this kind of stuff. You know, obviously you were influenced by your dad. I'm assuming you must have liked it, otherwise you wouldn't have carried on yourself anyway.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a weird one, and I don't know if the wildlife side of it is really to do with my parents or not. But definitely the outdoor side of things. Like I said, yeah, my dad introduced me to it. It's definitely not come from my mum. yeah, I mean, like I said, I was doing, going potholing, like when I say caving, I think most people, they think of walking for a big cavern, big like open sort of cathedral, stalactites, beautiful. We was potholing, that's what we call it. So like, you know, getting down, pulling yourself through tiny gaps in the rock, in the pitch black, water running under your belly, crawling through like cheese presses and Actually, one of my first abseils. So this is another thing that abseiling, I think, is something most people do at like activity centers, etc. My first abseil was in a cave down a 90-foot waterfall in complete darkness.
What?
My godfather had rigged a rope set up, and we basically popped out of this little hole that was maybe 6 foot wide into an enormous waterfall. And I'm going down this thing. Don't know whether to cry, to laugh, to close my eyes or anything. All I can hear is water crashing on my helmet. All I can see is what my torchlight is lighting up, which was mostly water as well. But yeah, I mean, that sort of thing, I guess for me being quite young, was normal to me. I was the kid in school who has the birthday party at a climbing center, or, you know, like even took people out to the local like quarry, that sort of thing. I love it. I've always loved it. But wildlife, you know, side of things, I guess, comes hand in hand with it. You know, it's part of the natural world. I think that's really where my heart lies, is just in nature, whether that's on a mountain or underwater, you know.
So a few things I want to ask. The way you're wording everything is so beautiful, because I'm literally sort of imagining all these things you're doing based on the very small experiences I've had. But to start with 90 foot, like 90 feet high, is fucking high, isn't it?
It's high when you're only about 3 foot high as well.
So for you, where does the thrill come from? Do you get nervous? Do you get like a feeling in your belly, or are you just like, fuck it, let's go, I'll do anything?
You know what? I don't know. I don't climb mountains because the height gives me a buzz or anything like that. I just love being in beautiful places. I just love to experience nature in its purest form, in its most beautiful form. And if I'm able to capture that, or if I'm able to capture someone's presence in that scene and take the viewer of that image, you know, into my perspective, into that moment, then as far as I'm concerned, I've achieved my goal. I've passed on my love in that moment, or my emotion in that moment, to someone else.
So in terms of both your photography, which we'll talk about in more depth shortly, and also your sort of, I'll use the word like outdoor activities, I don't know, that's playing it lightly, but has there ever been a moment when you've been like, fuck, this is going wrong right now, where you've been like, I don't know, I'm about to break a bone, or you've been like, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore?
I mean, for sure. most times I'm out on the mountain. No, I have actually broken bones. Ironically, I broke and dislocated my arm at the same time in a climbing center.
Fucking hell, I'm late.
I can't remember how old I was then. Maybe 9, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Just being a twat, just pissing about in the bouldering room, and we always used to climb back in the day. There, I used to go with my brother, who's 3 years older than me, and my cousin, who's another year older than him, and then I had my dad. Sort of, he was the one who took us. So obviously, I'm the smallest, I'm the youngest, I'm fighting hardest to keep up with everyone. I would do whatever they could do, and you know, sometimes more, but. In this instance, so we was trying this silly little traverse against part of the room which wasn't even part of what you were supposed to climb. It's like a marble archway type thing in this locker room, and there was like a jump sideways, kind of like a dino to the right, and we jumped across to the pull up bar. So my cousin goes, he nails it. My brother goes, he gets it. I jump and I grab the bar, but my weight swings me out. So I swing out in a weird kind of way, let go of the bar, and I land just like on my wrist. I don't even remember the pain. And my brother says that I wasn't even crying until I looked at it. And then when I looked at my wrist and realized that my bone was pretty much popping out of it, it was only tears from then on. And then, as you can imagine, the whole climbing center was surrounding me, you know. But in terms of actual outdoor things, I mean, little slip-ups or just things you can't predict, you know. I think a massive part of it is just being prepared for it.
You've had you've taken a lot of snaps of is that's what the cool kids call photos, isn't it? Snaps. But you've taken a lot of photos of animals in the wild. Has that ever intimidated you? Like, I mean, animals are obviously extremely unpredictable.
It's really not, you know. Strangely, this is a weird thing with me. I've always sort of had this peace with animals, like with all animals. Like, you probably laugh, but I'm quite sure that I can speak to flies.
In what respect? Tell me
more. And wasps, actually. In respect to where, like, literally I've gone up to a window and I've said to this wasp that's on the window, I said, if you just jump onto my hand, I'll open the door and I'll let you out. And literally, as I finished the sentence, it jumped straight onto my hand. I opened the door, let it out, carried on. I don't really have such a fear. And I think with in terms of wildlife, and I think it's because I know a lot about wildlife. I've always had this interest, so I'm quite knowledgeable with things, and I know how to keep my cool, how to react, how they are going to react, which can enable me to either, you know, be in the right place for the image at the right moment, or it can tell me when I need to just think, okay, no, this isn't worth it, he's not into it. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not stand in front of this 7-foot yak right now. And, you know, like, you need to choose your moments. But I think between me just being confident in myself, my knowledge of whatever I'm photographing, and perhaps just being a little bit cockier and a bit lucky.
You've explored a ton of places. You know, a lot of people, especially those that are from the UK, will be like, oh, you've got to leave the UK to see beauty. You've got to go to Asia. You've got to go to Africa. You've got to go to, I don't know, I can't even think of places now.
Yeah. But
I feel like you're an ambassador of seeing natural beauty within the UK, within different parts of a train ride away, or an hour drive or 2-hour drive, depending on where you live. And yeah, I feel like you're proud of that, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you're completely right. A lot of people, they won't even think, you know, like, summer's coming around, everyone's thinking, where can I get off to abroad? And beauty is, as cheesy as it sounds, if you're there to look for it, beauty is all around us. Like, I've seen some of the most beautiful sunsets in my life in the UK, in Wales to be precise. So I quite often travel around the UK. Yeah, I mean, I love going up to Scotland. I love, if possible, quite often go over to Wales. But the lakes, like, is such an underrated place. And if you, like, obviously through my travels, I meet a lot of foreign people. And if you took one of them to the lakes and showed them around, they would be in complete awe. It's a beautifully underrated place. So for sure. I mean, the UK has so much to hold. I think people definitely should sort of think what's more local to them before going out abroad. I mean, I suppose lockdown has done that to everyone, really. But, you know, you can see the evidence of that, the amount of people now that are posting images of their local spots, or they've started to search out wildlife in the local area and stuff like this, and they're having success doing it.
So what are some of the places that you would recommend within the UK? Off the top of your head, places that are accessible, whether to camp, whether just to explore for the day. And on top of that, what are your favorite places personally? I guess they kind of come hand in hand. If you're going to recommend them, there must be your favorite, otherwise you wouldn't do it. But then is there something that kind of screams out to you like, that is the spot, that's the one?
See, it's really hard because it really depends on what you're looking for. Do you mean just sort of in terms of a landscape, like something?
I guess you've raised a good point. You've raised a good point because it could be whether it's like a sort of epic view that's something Instagram worthy, because a lot of people are chasing the, you know, the best Instagram landscape photo, aren't they? And obviously that's kind of good because then it markets a place within the UK. But yeah, take it how you want to take it, interpret it how you want to interpret it. What's your favorite place, whether it's for the view, whether it's for the atmosphere you take in, whether it's for, yeah, whatever you think it is, what's your favorite place? And also, where are some of the places you would recommend?
In the UK.
In the UK, yeah.
Okay.
And you can't say Northern Quarter of Manchester.
Ooh. When the bars were open, though. I suppose if I had to pick one place, one area that I never fail to enjoy when I go, there's sort of something for everyone. For me, there's so much available there. Mountains, sunsets, landscapes, beautiful rivers and lakes to swim in. Beautiful beaches along the coast that I found this year. So Snowdonia, Wales. I mean, beaches obviously out further onto the west coast, but Snowdonia is beautiful. It's stunning. There's so much to see there. There's a lot that's accessible, even if you're quite a low level hiker or climber. You can be quite comfortable doing these climbs that give you this beautiful, wide, open, like just majestic landscapes. And it's so accessible. You can drive there in 2 hours from here in Manchester. Just park up. You could spend the day doing all sorts, you know, like you could find yourself kayaking, swimming. It's sort of the one place where, like I said, I always know it's going to be good, but it's always different. It always holds something different for me. So just before lockdown last year, I had a few trips up that way, and I was getting into wild swimming. So for anyone who doesn't know what that is, basically you're going out and you're using lakes, rivers, and sort of the idea is no matter the weather, no matter the temperature, within reason, you're sort of using it as a health benefit, essentially. You're looking
at it. It's great you've brought this up because I was going to bring it up myself. I saw this documentary around 2 or 3 weeks ago of a woman in, I think it might have been Scotland, but she sort of does this on the daily. The lake near her is frozen over. She'd like chisel out a little rectangle in it.
I've not quite got to that level, but
she would chisel out this rectangle in the eyes. It wouldn't be that big. It would be sort of, I don't know, maybe 20 foot in length. Literally enough to do a few strokes. It was fascinating because she said it in terms of the health benefits, it's incredible. But then obviously the moment you get out, you have to fully clothe, like layers upon layers, because your body will go into shutdown otherwise.
Yeah. I suppose that the same as anything that you do outdoors in that sense, you know, you don't do it just on the whim. You plan it. You know what you're doing, you know your limits, or you're pushing your boundaries within reason. I wouldn't recommend anyone cuts a hole in some ice and starts swimming in it. That's definitely not, you know, that's probably not going to do them any health benefits. But I think just in terms of getting out and doing, whether it is wild swimming or something like that, outdoor activities, they really like revitalize your soul. I think that's factual for sure. Like, you can't, you know, it's even going out for a walk, you know, it's the small things. And I think people often lose touch of nature and lose, sort of forget about how it can really turn things around, how positively it can impact your health, your mental health.
Do you think that's a massive contribution? Well, the lack of people exploring and taking in the great outdoors and the fact that we're all stuck in working from home and or doing different things, do you think that's having an effect on mental health in the sense that people aren't going out and doing all these great things in the peaks or everywhere? I imagine when you've gone for a weekend away to camping, exploring, whatever you want to call it, when you come back, you must feel great, but then also a little bit shit that you're not still there. But you must feel great in general, though, whilst you're there. Like, you're sort of, because it's perfect. It's like the definition of being human, isn't it? Like, being in within nature.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that sort of primal lifestyle, I guess you could call it. I think for sure that sort of lifestyle. Yeah. I think it has a massive effect, especially on mental health. Like, obviously it has physical benefits. But like me, for example, you know, I'm not afraid to say this past year or so has been some of the hardest times of my life. I've struggled with it hugely.
It's completely random. And like I said to you before we hit record, I don't really have any questions written down. I'm just sort of going on the fly because it makes for a better conversation. But something I've written down on my notepad, because I do make notes as well. Yeah. And it's completely random. But do you think that you would be able to survive in the wild for a long period of time with like very limited tools based on the experiences you've had?
You know what? I would love to try. I would actually love the opportunity to try. I think like probably all of my close friends and my partner probably all told me at one point that I would be that one person that does survive. I would be that one person they would want to be with if that happened to them.
Mate, yeah. I think out of anybody I know, if there is anybody, I would be the same. I would want you on my team or whatever, because I feel like, you know, you could
put you in fucking, my backpack.
You could turn like a tree into like a 6-bedroom wooden base shack or something like that. Something wild. Yeah. To be fair as well, mate. Like I honestly, like I see the content you put on your Instagram, and I do think that you deserve like a big platform, both in terms of your sort of your exploring and adventure, and as well as your photography. So let's talk about your photography, because it is a big part of who you are. We obviously know that. You mentioned earlier that you started doing all the outdoor stuff and alike when you were 5. When did you pick up a camera? Did your dad get you into photography as well? How did that happen?
I guess when I started, when would that have been? I mean, for starters, I never had really someone to inspire me in photography. My parents, my mum started carrying a digital camera when they came around, but she never really had that like photographer's mindset. You know, she would just take family photos, nice things around town, etc., when we go on holiday. But it was actually, I suppose, that camera and my mum that did inspire me to begin with. We did a cruise when I was about 14, I think. And we did a cruise down the Turkish coast. So it was like a gullet cruise, sort of a 40-foot yacht, just like my family and a couple other families. And I can remember this sort of one moment where we was watching this sunset, and I'd asked my mum if I could sort of have a go of her camera, because I felt like I just wanted to capture something for myself. I suppose it was just like a curiosity sort of stage level at that point. But I remember taking this photo, and that photo is actually still up on the wall of my parents' house. It was just this sunset. I remember taking it, and I remember the sort of praise that I received from my mum for capturing that and from everyone else who was on the boat. And I suppose in that moment, I thought, okay, like maybe there's something here. And then I suppose from then onwards, it was really, I sort of made it a means to an end. I always had this massive passion for traveling, for seeing the world. I always wanted to experience new things. I still do. I have this. I still have that curiosity, I suppose. And so photography for me was a way to pay for that, a way to, how can I travel for free?
Hmm.
So if I can capture these beautiful places and you know, actually succeed in making money from that. And
it comes perfectly hand in hand as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I've got this outdoor background, I've got the nature background, I have this sort of mindset and this desire to travel. And yeah, like you said, the hand in hand.
So. In terms of like the photography, I've interviewed a few photographers in the past, but what I always find interesting, the last photographer I interviewed on my podcast was Sarah, and she was more of a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. with a subject in the photo, and for yourself, it is more nature, isn't it?
Yeah. Generally.
What do you think then in terms of nature? I mean, I can ask you in terms of photography as a whole, but specific to nature and the great outdoors, what do you think makes or captures a perfect moment, a perfect photo? What makes a great photo? I've seen you, I've seen a lot of the photos you've taken with, it's the yaks, right? The yaks?
Yeah, could have been.
And yeah, I mean, for people listening right now, please go and check these photos out because, oh my fucking God, they're just like, you look at them and go, it's not real. It's, if you look at a photo and go, it's not, for me, if I look at a photo and go, that's not real, it's because it's that fucking good that it's like, how has that happened?
Right.
Firstly, how did you capture that to start with? And that, for me, is borderline a perfect photo.
Mm. I mean, I appreciate that. It's nice to hear. So sorry, what was the question? I went off on a tangent
there because I got excited. But yeah. I was just, well, the first question is, what do you think makes a good photo? And also, how did you capture the photos of the yak? Is it the yaks? Is that plural for yak? I don't know.
You know what? I think you're right. I think it's yaks. Okay, so, I mean, in terms of a good photo, it's difficult. It sort of varies depending on what you do, and I suppose it's difficult to answer for me because I do actually have a few things that I capture. Obviously, I have these. My roots are in nature. And so that involves landscape images, and that sort of thing, and wildlife images. But sort of the big thing of what I'm doing now, sort of commercially, is sort of capturing outdoor leaders, stuff like that, sort of people who are running excursions, photographing products for outdoor companies. So obviously in that sense, it's a little more similar to portraiture. And actually the aim is to actually capture the product or the person. So I'll talk more maybe about the sort of nature side of things. And I would say that in sort of similarly to how I said before, I always feel it's if you're able to transport the viewer into that scene, into that moment, like, whatever I'm shooting, like whether it's a landscape or wildlife or someone bombing it down some rapids on a kayak, you know, I'm always trying to capture something special, something with it where the end result portrays the emotion I'm feeling in the time. It sort of speaks about that particular moment in time. I want that to be preserved and captured and shared, essentially. I think you could go into a lot of things by the book, what makes a good photograph, sort of composition and sort of all these ratios and the technical side of things. But I think there really comes a moment where you just have to wing it a little bit, for lack of better words. You know, people say this thing about like photographer's eye, you know?
Hmm.
And I think that's obviously transferable across the whole board of photography. But it's not something that I'd recognized when I sort of started out professionally. I knew I was able to capture a good photo. I knew how to theoretically. But I think like the amount of people that tell me that I do have this eye, that I have this vision, and now I really see it. Like I could be stood right next to someone and we're both looking at the same thing and I've already seen a better angle that's maybe 100 meters away. Like I know where I want to be.
Right, okay, I got you.
To capture this thing in front of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Properly. I don't know. It's a hard one to say, isn't it?
I guess it's the million-dollar question within photography, yeah, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What makes photo so great? I mean, for someone like yourself, do you sort of admire and take in other photographers' work, or is it sort of, are you just doing what you do? You don't sort of...
No, for sure. I have people I look up to, both in their photography work and actually what they do outside of that. I've sort of always sought inspiration from other people. I mean, obviously, platforms like Instagram now, it's so easy to do that. But even prior to that, I would sort of research some photographers within whatever direction I was going at the time. You know, if I was just sort of focusing more on landscapes, I would look into what's sort of out there. What, especially if I know I'm actually going to a location to shoot something, I will 99% of the time I will look for all the best images of that place I can find before I go. So I know what I'm up against. Like
right.
I'll already have angles in my head, or I'll already have an idea of how I want to produce this image. So I think that plays a big part of it. Planning is pretty key. But at the end of the day, you need a bit of luck.
Well, I mean, that's a good point in terms of the luck aspect. So obviously, when you see like, I don't know if is it Time Magazine that do like the photo of the year or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, I think it was, one I do remember is a photo of, there was a bit of criticism around it. I don't know if you remember it or if I'm maybe making this up, but there was like a kid surrounded by like, or maybe a kid that was like starving, surrounded by like, birds that were like pretty much trying to eat the kid.
Right.
1 second, let me Google this. I want to make sure I get this right. Time magazine photo. Birds.
Kid being eaten.
Starving child and vultures. Here we go. Yes, this is it. So that's it. Yes, I found it. 1993. Kevin Carter.
Oh wow.
Have you got it? Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about it. It's for many reasons. I mean, if whilst you're listening to this, if you just Google Kevin Carter starving child vulture, not the best thing to Google, but the photo itself is just one. Oh, it won.
Oh, knocks you photo. Back.
It does, doesn't it? It does, yeah. Doesn't it?
But in that sense, it's a great photo because of that reason, you know?
Of course,
you're immediately taken to that location and that moment, and you you know, you're struck by it, and that's why you're struck by it, because it's so powerful, because it's it tells such a story.
And it's also, the thing is as well, is that it's kind of, I don't know if suggestive is the right word, but it's kind of, it leaves you down this dark, well, at least it does for me. I'm like, right, I can only assume what's potentially happened next. Do you know what I mean? And it's that's the thing when it gets, for me, when it gets me, I'm like, fuck, because I've seen that so many times, and it's such a sad photo. But this is another point. Like when I was speaking to Sarah, it's like the photo she was taking of residents of New York City and Manhattan who were homeless.
Yeah,
you know, great the photos. That. Yeah, I'll pass on the comments, and it's such an incredible like oxymoron, because it's like, yeah, if that's the right word, like you're saying that a photo is so incredible and it's so beautifully shot. Maybe not the word beautiful. Well, I don't know. Because then, it's captured.
Sorry, I just cut in. I think regardless of, I think a good photo doesn't have to make you feel good.
Right.
I think a great photo is something that you just can connect with emotionally, and something that enlightens. You know, it tells a story that is, you know, that struck you on a personal level.
And I guess to go on top of that, you know, a photo, we kind of, even though it is just a still image, we all kind of interpret photos very differently. It is such a unique
I mean, photography, appreciation of photographs is subjective at the end of the day.
I guess it goes into the sort of day-old thing of beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I want to sort of ask you a few questions for people that are wanting to go out there. Because I feel like now more than ever, people are going to want to go out and explore, because they're going to be, it's like releasing the hounds again. You know, people can go out; they'll be able to legally go do what they want to do. For those that want to do some really exciting exploration in the UK, what would you advise them to do? What would you say to them? Would you say, go fucking do it? Would you be like, right, go check out some videos first, make sure you're safe? I mean, what's the kind of stuff you'd advise? If I was coming to you, a total fucking numpty, and, you know, the furthest I've gone outdoors is to my Tesco Express on a Friday for some beers, what would you say? What would you advise, like, for me? Where would you say, right, baby steps, go here first, maybe go for a day out first, then if you want to go camping, do this?
Yeah.
What's your advice?
I think, in any case, for sure, go do it. Get outside, get some fresh air in your lungs. It's going to do you some good. I think for sort of novice level, the lakes is a really nice place to start, because it's quite, obviously, depending on where you go, it can be quite touristy, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You can start from, you know, like, for example, the centre of Windermere, the, you know, most iconic places in the Lake District. You can do walks from there that follow the lakes around. I would say it's a nice place to start, because it's beautiful, but it's not too dramatic. There's nothing really too out there, you know. It's a safe playground, I would say. So get out there, get your local map for the area. I think the best thing in any case is just to build it up. So the worst thing you could do is just to think, oh, that fucking ridge climb that I saw this guy take a photo of on Instagram was so sick. Like, I'm going to do that. I know where how to get up there. Like, it's just like the amount of people I've saved off mountains is just stupid. Like, I'll be halfway through a climb and I'll be, you know, obviously comfortable.
This has happened.
Yeah.
Right. Go on. Tell me more, please.
I'd say probably, let's have a think. Bear in mind that I haven't been out a lot, obviously, recently. But I think out of the last 5 times I've been out, there's maybe two or three times I've had to either rescue someone or basically lead them up the climb because they're incapable to do it on their own.
Do you think inexperience can be very dangerous then when it's down to things like this?
It's dangerous, it's selfish, it's like, imagine, you know, to go in on one of these climbs, you're real prepared. Dangerous things can happen when you're super prepared, when you're ready for it. You know, you don't know when something could happen. But if you're diving into something that's out of your experience level, you're not prepared for it. It's not only dangerous for you; it's dangerous for whoever else is on that route. Whoever else, like the mountain rescue that may have to come and risk their lives to help you, the time that, you know, it's stupid. It does really frustrate me. Like if I'm doing sort of a technical, like when I say climb, generally I mean actually mountaineering or hiking. I don't actually do that much flat wall climbing. But if I'm on like a scramble sort of mountaineering and someone comes past me and they're just there like in their Nikes and their like tracksuit or jeans or something, and it's just one of those moments where I'm just like, oh man. And it's just kind of, it's sad to see. It's frustrating for me because imagine that person makes a mistake and they fall. They shouldn't have been there. They should have been more prepared. And they're using up the time of, let's say, a mountain rescue helicopter. There could be someone in a much worse state who was prepared, who was the responsible person, who just was there at the wrong time. And they could be the ones that, you know, that pay for it.
Oh, man.
It's frustrating. I've had people that have actually literally been on the phone to mountain rescue, and I've had to climb across to them. They were the two southerners from this couple from London. I was climbing in Snowdonia. I was climbing Cribgoc, which is a route up the Snowdon Horseshoe. They'd got completely out of the depth. They were basically following someone else who was on the pathway in front of them. They didn't know which pathway was which. They followed them up until the point where they couldn't follow them, and then they couldn't get back down. So we're going up. Me and Mason, my friend, who I do a lot of climbing with. We was on our way up, and we just hear, "Help, help!" So we're like, look over, and I can't see anyone. Managed to spot this little guy, and you know, like sort of in the sort of shrubbery. On this quite sort of steep bank just leading up to what was actually just the start of the climb to Cribgoc, to the actual ridge. Like I said, this guy's already on the phone to mountain rescue, and I hear him sort of, you know, like describing his location or this, or shout over, ask him who he's calling, and he's like, mountain rescue. I was like, put the phone down now, like, and basically I then get over to this guy, obviously in a nice way. I'm not an obed. I'm a nice guy. I was it turned out it's him and his partner. So we got them calm. They explained what happened, blah blah blah. The mountain rescue then called back because he'd not even been able to give them any sort of reference as to where he was. He didn't have a clue where he was. So this is the other dangerous thing. If something does happen and you don't know what you're doing, how are you gonna tell someone where you are without a map, without any sort of
wild, mate. Wild, no pun intended. But
we spent then sort of 15 minutes talking with them. The mountain rescue called back, and I sort of grabbed the phone, explained everything that had happened, our exact spot, probably to the, you know, to like the nearest 3 meters or something, and sort of talked through all of this and assured him that. Well, I basically took responsibility for them, and I told the mountain rescue that I would lead these two back to the sort of public footpath, the easy path. So obviously that's what I did. But and you're like, whilst we're walking down, these guys are like, oh, you know, it was stupid of us to do that. Really, on reflection, like, we shouldn't have done this. But It's still frustrating, you know, like he knows that he was stupid to do it, but he did it anyway. And it's dangerous.
Man, It's just, oh God.
Like, I had the right laugh with the mountain rescue on the phone though. He was top down. We was like,
were you slagging him off?
It's like, because he's asking me questions like about them, what kit they've got, what they're planning to do next, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, have you got head torches, guys? And they sort of look at each other, got phone lights though, got phone battery. Have you got phone battery? It's just like, oh my God, just don't rely on phones, people, please.
Dave, thank you very much for your time. But before I let you go, I'm going to ask you a question I ask all my guests. Ooh. And that is, if I gave you a blank canvas, what would you paint on it and why?
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to paint probably one of my plants. Probably one of my plant babies. I love my plants. My flat's absolutely covered in them. Whenever you actually get a chance to come around and see that, you'll like them. I'll do that.
Thank you very much for your time. I like it. Thank you very much for your time, Dave. It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of A Blank Canvas. You can follow us on Instagram at A Blank Canvas Pod, or you can like us on Facebook /A Blank Canvas Pod. If you want to contact us for any reason, it's hello@ablankcanvaspod.com or visit our website, ablankcanvaspod.com.